Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, April 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Third Wave Volunteers, Ukraine Refugee and Orphan Rescue Efforts, hosted by Angel Protocol. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're just getting started here, getting the word distributed a bit wider and getting a few more people in. But it's going to be great to hear from Third Waves. We have Terra Spaces on the call, who's going to be recording the Twitter Spaces for us. And we also have Coleman, who is a member of the community, who is actually on the ground helping house some refugees and run supplies as part of a sort of independent support and help mission that he's doing. So might be some interesting crossover discussion that you can have. But yeah, Allison, I would just love to hear from you a bit in terms of what Third Wave Volunteers is doing. You know, a little bit about the situation on the ground, as well as your overall background and kind of what brought you here today.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're coming through.
Thank goodness. Man, it was easier being in the war zone and trying to like get communications there.
Someone was laughing at me yesterday or earlier this week because they were saying that my audio was coming through quite poorly, and we had Coleman on the call, who was actually on the ground in between Poland and Ukraine, and his audio was much clearer. So people were like, "What? Why is the guy in the war zone getting better reception?"
I know, and I have the answer because usually the communications are the first thing they take out. But because Ukraine is so good at doing their hacking and all the things they do, there's a cyber war going on with Russia, and Elon Musk put the Starlink above. So you can be in the front lines of the war zone. You've got WhatsApp, text, Signal, everything. But of course, we only use encrypted Signal, so the Russians can't track us.
Gotcha. That's an interesting insight. I never really thought about that. I heard about the Starlink being provisioned, and it's nice to see support coming in from all sorts of different areas and seeing how much of a difference that kind of technology can make simply in the type of coverage and communication we're able to get in these situations.
Yes, and that's saving thousands of lives, because we're seeing all the aid and the pouring in through the different borders, and having that communication is helping us just get so much aid to different areas. So it's really key, communications.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're looking to get a few more people in here, but in either case, we do have the spaces being recorded. So we're going to be able to share and distribute this after our call. You know, first of all, I just want to say a huge thank you to you and what Third Wave Volunteers is doing. Your organization has a history of being on the ground sooner than the bigger kind of more well-known disaster relief organizations. And, you know, you really get involved with the local population, understanding what the real needs are on the ground and where you can be most effective. And you have been sharing some amazing updates from Ukraine. And we've been sharing that out with the community. But please, I would love to hear more from your perspective, both on what you're seeing in Ukraine today and also just a little bit on Third Wave Volunteers overall.
All right. Well, we started September 11th as first responders in New York. I was underneath the tower when it came down responding. And then we've grown since then to about 30,000 first responders around the world. And we go into disasters. And it used to just be natural disasters. But these man-made disasters are getting bigger and bigger. So we're in the Syrian crisis for 3 years in Venezuela. And now we just get in. We don't have salaries, and we're a big volunteer group, so we don't have to pay these heavy overheads that the big orgs have to do. So we get in, no red tape, no bureaucracy. This trip, from the very beginning of the war, we joined with Exodus, and they've been extracting special needs orphans from inside Ukraine since 2014. So our first goal was getting 23 specialized special needs orphans who are on feeding tubes and broken femurs and all sorts of situations out. But usually it's a 48-hour extraction, but this has just been really hard because a lot are in bombed areas, a lot are behind Russian territory now. And so while we've been getting those out slowly, we've been getting hundreds of other orphans out, and also doing a lot of training with the military. The military are really civilians from churches and everything, being given a uniform, given a gun, sent to the front lines, and they don't even know how to use it. They have no medical training. So what we're doing is training them in CPR and tourniquets. And wound care and things like that, because they really have no skills whatsoever. So we're just working with the orphans, but then we're also up in the front lines all over teaching the military and civilians of actually what to do if your arm gets blown off. So that's just a quick in a nutshell of what we're doing. But there's obviously a lot of other things, getting a lot of people out to borders and all sorts of things like that. We're also working with, the raped women and children that have been taken out of Bucha and Irpin. And they're in a real bad way in some of the hospitals. So that's the short version.
Well, that was a lot to cover in the short version. Yeah. You are adept at boiling that down. There's just so much going on. I feel like, you know, people hear the broader news stories and then tend to kind of look away from some of the more discrete horrors, just because I feel like it's in our nature. It's uncomfortable, right? And it's painful. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I think it's so big that where your organization comes into play, because it's really mobilizing the exact opposite of we're not going to look away, we're not going to turn away from this, we are going to go in where we're needed, and really pulling people from all over the world to come facilitate that mission. Could you share a little more about Third Wave Volunteers just overall? So you started September 11th, you go all over the world to different causes, but I would love to hear more on that.
Yeah, so for example, last year was Hurricane Ida was in Louisiana. So we moved in, set up a command. We were actually had sponsorship from Tesla. We was fully 24-hour run by solar. We have nurses and we do telehealth. We do solar and water filtration and giving out aid, and we do search and rescue. So there's a lot of different components of it, but we'll set up and we do the initial search and rescue, but then we stay long term. So for example, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the earthquakes. We've been in Haiti since 2010. We're still working there. We're still working in the 2004 tsunami. We've created a tsunami warning system down there. So there's just a lot of different projects. Also in Haiti, we do reforestation. So it depends what you do, because our motto is everyone's needed. And we learned that at Ground Zero. We were down there and the professionals kept coming through and saying, oh, it's time for you to leave. The professionals need to take over. And that was FEMA. And then we just look up and look down and keep washing out firemen's eyes. And then 6 days later, you know, they kept coming back. And in the end, they looked around, covered their badge and said, please stay. We need everyone. Everyone's needed. And that's our motto, because we have medical, but there's also a lot of non-medical, because someone's got to hand out the water and do logistics and hug people and set things up and set tents up. And so there's a place for everyone. And that's really the motto. And it's like, you know, it's easy to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it's leadership to be in the wrong place at the right time. So we're about including everyone, and we work from the grassroots up. And a lot of the big oars come in and they take over from the top down. But you arrive in these places, for example, Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. There's all these great groups ready to do stuff, from Rotary and Lions and all the different groups, but they just wiped out. They have no food or aid, so they need the outside help. But the system is in place. So we work with the people, grassroots, no red tape, no bureaucracy. We don't have to pay big salaries on big buildings and stuff. Just get in there, help the people. All donations go to help the people. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I mean, something that's, you know, really big in the overall crypto blockchain space is this idea of decentralization and, you know, DAO organization. And it's a bit different, but also very, very similar to what you're describing, in the sense that a lot of times overly centralized control can lead to missing a lot of different opportunities and flexibility that a decentralized organization can offer by yes. tapping into all of this sort of grassroots support that you're doing. So, I mean, I feel like Third Wave Volunteers is a very real example of almost like a in action DAO, right? You have people all over the world. There is
and some universities.
Leadership, but not centralized.
Yeah, you tap into, like, when you land, there's universities full of thousands of volunteers. So you tap into those and we all pull together. And an example of what we're going through with crypto and Bitcoin and everything in Ukraine is it's a cash economy because the banks aren't open. You can't get cash, anything and anything that's, you know, in the East. So the Bitcoin has come into play and people paying each other that way. Everyday people, it's not just the elitist rich people. Like if you need to get food from a grocery, people are sending each other, you know, Bitcoin and everything. And it's really come into play in this disaster.
I love it. I love it. Coleman, I'm not sure if you're at your computer yet or you're on your phone yet. I'll invite you up to speaker when you're able to, just to share some different experiences there. And Allison, just for your information, so Coleman is one of the members of the Terra community. He actually has a home in Poland. So when all this happened, he started doing cross-border trips to bring supplies to the front line, to help transport refugees, house them at his own home until they can, you know, get on to relatives or kind of get their feet going. But it's been kind of like a very sort of individual grassroots thing where people from the community are helping fund him. But yeah, as, you know, I just wanted the opportunity to tie him in with what you're doing. And I guess in a broader way, just ask you, I mean, how can people get involved? So obviously we have the fundraiser portal, ukraine.angelprotocol.io. People can donate there. I know that you were able to off-ramp some funds from there to help the efforts on the ground recently. But beyond the actual fundraising, I mean, like, what would you say to people who just want to be involved, perhaps on the ground in some way?
Well, we have a request. And after being with all the war commanders and the military hospitals and the medical directors, the number one need in that country is tourniquet, you know, and they don't have enough. And it's so hard to get in America and Europe. And it's like when you had when the COVID pandemic hit and the N95 mask was impossible to get. So people are scrambling. So I found some different places and there's a place on the border that makes 1500 a day. So as soon as they're made, we get them to the front line. So because I'm back in Miami for a week and a half, we've got a big call out for tourniquets. And I just mean an individual person can just buy one online. And there's an address I'll provide at a warehouse that they can send them to. So I've done this for the last week and I got 1,000 tourniquets, just my friends sending one or two, you know, and these tourniquets save lives. So I've got 1,000 right now, that's 1,000 lives. And they will go straight with us next week and we will take it to the front line. So that's what we're focusing on, the tourniquets. And that's a really important way people can help. And also spreading social media. We do all these disasters through social media. We get contacts and someone says, my grandma's trapped in this town and that town, can you help her? And this is how it's all run. So if you get that, even if you can't donate, you know, you spread that news on and keep resharing all our social media. And that really, really helps.
I love that. I love that. That makes a lot of sense.
Can I add some stuff? Can I add something? You know, when we're driving all around Ukraine, there's cities that haven't been touched. Obviously, it's not every single country that's been, I mean, area that's been bombed, but it's the innocent people. We see the old 90-year-old shuffling across the street and the kids that are living underground like rats every night. You know, there's 15,000 women and children in subways and on tunnels under the ground. And these are just everyday people like us, you know. That's what really strikes me every time I'm out in the field. And it's just beautiful people, and they just have been invaded. So we really need to stand behind them, and most of the world is. So we thank everyone, because your help and your donations are making it there.
I love that so much. And thank you for sharing the actual footage on the ground. I mean, I feel like that just helps make it so real for people when they see these orphans and refugees being rescued and putting, you know, we have obscured faces, so not literally a face to the name, but you can see they're real people, right? That are, they could be your relatives, it could be your family. And, you know, it's easy to just sort of turn that off and think of, you know, the other and these people that aren't us, you know, going through this, but these people are us, right?
Yes, and sometimes we go into a meeting and they've got high up positions in the war, and then they tell us what they do in before the war. They say they're an IT specialist or a banker. One of them ran all the strip clubs in Ukraine. So it's really interesting how everybody has these everyday whatever jobs, and now they've been put in high positions because they're good at some sort of strategic role, you know. So yeah, it's just everyday people. And remember, when every time you hear about the Ukraine soldiers, it's like churchgoers and people you would meet walking down the street.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, also, with the tourniquets, when we met with some of the war commanders, we were giving Stop the Bleed kits in a large amount. And one of the commanders cried. And you know how tough military guys are, and they just don't usually cry. But he had tears rolling down his face. That's how high the need is there.
That's very powerful. And it's consistent with some other stuff we heard. I mean, Coleman, you were saying something very similar the other day of just, you know, amazing thinking about the lives that people had before this and the ways that they've been transformed and stepped up to basically fill the need.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was just, hi, Alison, by the way. We haven't actually spoken or met before, but yeah, I'm Coleman, and I'm blown away by what you guys are doing, and absolutely essential stuff, and, you know, amazing, you know, what you guys are doing, and I'm in awe of that. And I mirror what Alison's saying at the end of the day, that you know, that these are just average everyday people that are thrown into a situation which I don't think any of us would we can't comprehend what that must be like, you know, to find yourself suddenly to have to deal with that on that level. And quite amusing, Alison just said that one of the guys actually owned strip clubs before. I found that quite, you know, it's just it, that is just the reality of it. That is absolutely hit the nail on the head there, yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you for your work that you're doing, because we are just you. We're just volunteers that step up and we help. And even if we can only help 10 people, that's enough. But we don't, you know, it ends up being a lot more than that. But it's just about the everyday person knowing they can help in some way, even if it means cleaning the toilet in the back room. September 11th, we had this Upper West Side lawyer, but he didn't put his job above what needed to be done. And he carried water from the West River, making our toilet clean for 3 weeks, and just sat against the wall and slept every now and then. So the message is that everyone is needed. There's a role for everyone.
So I love it. So Alison, what are your plans going forward then, right? So you're getting tourniquets sent, getting those delivered. You flew back to Miami for a week and a half. I guess you're going to be flying back there now. I know that there is at least one orphanage that you helped rescue kids from. And I guess I'm just curious sort of what the priorities are for Third Wave going forward.
The priorities are still helping Exodus with the orphans, because we have a lot of them now based in Moldova. And, we're helping pay for caretakers and finishing another orphanage we're about to move 30 kids into. So it's all that. But I often don't talk a lot about that, because we can't compromise our team and, you know, mention what cities they're in and all that. So I kind of keep that low, but that's our highest priority. But in the meantime, we're really training. We're training the paratroopers, the Coast Guard, the military, the civilians, you know, which is pretty much all of those are civilians anyway. And it's just focusing on giving them skills that they don't have about wound care and everything. Because the night I left Odessa, The next day they were bombed. They were bombed quite a lot. So even those people in Odessa, even though they're not up on the east, we're preparing them as well. And then we're taking back solar lights. There's no electricity up in the front line, so we have these fold-up solar lights, and they give 16 hours of light, and they're amazing. They recharge in the sun. So we're going to be going up to the front lines with the guys, teaching them a tourniquet, and giving them the solar lights, so at least give them a little reprieve. So that's our main focus.
Alison, I've just given you a follow on Twitter, and if you want to just add me as well, and because it's just maybe a twist of fate or whatever, but I, through my involvement with the Terra community, was contacted last week by an investor who wishes to remain private. He is quite a big investor within the Terra community, and he is actually flying a 747 over some time this week. I can't be exactly specific when, but I managed to get long story short, but Lunaverse, a guy from Lunaverse, reached out to me who I had had some dealings with, and he which is one of the protocols on Terra on this blockchain, and he said, look, you know, I've got a friend who's an officer in Odessa, he needs to get his family out, and also they really need equipment. And then
that's exactly
I reached
where
out.
I'm going. Yeah, I have an apartment.
All right
there.
Well,
yeah,
you know well, I've got this gentleman, this chap that I've spoken to, he is actually landing that plane in Warsaw within the next few days. And then he is accompanying the supplies down. And I know a great portion of that is now heading down to Odessa to this particular officer who's based down there. But if you send me a message after this, yes, perhaps I can tie you in with him and we can get something over to you as well.
Yes, yes, because also separate, the Jewish Foundation, who are amazing, they're in Krakow. They have 200 duffel bags left behind in New York and New Jersey full of medicines and everything, and they don't know how to get it over there. So that plane may be able to help take their bags over. We all got to work together. So, yeah, let's
Definitely, because,
after this.
yeah, definitely. We'll have a chat for sure. Yeah, let's speak further because... Yeah,
it all ties in, and that's where we go, yeah, this group, you work with them and them, and can you take that? And that's how this all works. And we're so used to organizations all working in silos separate to themselves, but we've got to work together. So that's great news.
Michael, okay, we'll talk again for sure. And that'll be great. I look forward to speaking to you, after this. We'll have a chat. Perfect.
Great. Keep it up.
All right. Cool.
I love it. I love seeing these connections happen in real time. Alison, just a side note here. So the project that Coleman is originally from on Terra, it's an NFT project called Lunables. They have been huge supporters of Angel Protocol and our charitable efforts. And they actually donated, I think, just over $96,000 to the Ukraine portal.
Thank you. And also the donations go to so many other little things I can't talk about really. But, you know, I saw this couple with two special needs kids that's 14 and 21, and they can't walk. They have cerebral palsy. They look like they're 5 years old, and their house was bombed. So they're walking around. So, you know, we rented them an apartment in Moldova for 9 months. It's only $900. It's really cheap. So there's a lot of the donations also go to little tiny things like that, where we see the needs of a family that's living on the street. So there's a lot of different things but we just look for the highest need, and we spend our money. It doesn't sit in accounts, and a lot of people raising billions and it's just sitting there, but we spend it and we spend it and get it to where it's got to go.
That is awesome. I'm going to take a quick moment here to help reiterate for people that you can go donate to support efforts today, ukraine.angelprotocol.io. It'll support third wave volunteers along with some other organizations that are doing refugee work. You can also navigate there directly to third wave volunteers endowment and donate directly to them there. Finally, when you go to donate, we are getting to the end of our donation raffle. So we've had a number of NFT projects that have donated different NFT collectibles, custom Ukraine NFTs, and one of ones that really just highlight the charitable spirit of the community and our solidarity and support with Ukraine. So donate mainly just because it's a great thing to do, please. But also, you know, if you are interested in winning some of these NFTs that have been generously gifted over by various Terra NFT communities, any donation, every dollar is a raffle ticket in. And I've joined from the Angel Protocol Twitter today, so you can't see the profile image of my main account, Chauncey St. John. But currently I'm rocking that tier 7 Galactic Angel. There's one of four in existence. It's really meant to signify the highest level of charitable caring on Terra or across. So one of those is available for raffle and will be raffled off tomorrow. So please go make your donations to the portal, mainly for the good cause, but also for the potential to win some pretty cool and frankly beautiful NFTs. I'm not sure if anyone has any questions for Allison or Coleman. If anyone wants to raise your hand as we're talking here, please feel free to do that. So Allison, one question I have for you is we've had people, I wouldn't say push back on the support for Ukraine, but we've had a number of people raise questions saying, this is a current refugee crisis getting attention, but there's refugee crises all over the world. How do you think about that as third wave volunteers? Like, how do you prioritize where you're going to go and sort of mobilize your efforts?
We're about helping everyone, and there's just so much need everywhere in the world, and we do have projects ongoing in so many areas of the world, and prioritizing. It's just, we just know, you know, and we have a lot of contacts over there who are really good friends, especially in New York. You know, they're New Yorkers and they're over in there and they have an underground network and they're really helping. So we just try to help in every situation. And this is a really brutal, brutal war. And we really know, we just have such experience with it that we know we can just get in and help. You know, we can't stay there for years and everything, but we were in the Syrian crisis for 3 years and we're still helping there. So I don't know about all the other orgs, but we just do what we can. And I know that we have really high level skills and able to teach these people of what to do just to survive. So I, you know, people can choose whichever disaster in the world, but a very brutal one and an unfair one when someone, a bully, comes into the country next door and does this. And I know that's happening in other countries too, but this is what we're focusing on. It's hard to explain how we choose it, but after I'm on the ground, I usually know that, no, I can't leave now. I know that we've got a lot more work to do here. That's just how we do it. We can't choose every disaster, but we can do help here and over there and wherever we are.
I love it. And this is something that we want to set up as an ongoing donation fundraiser. So right now, you know, the efforts are very specific towards Ukraine, because I think it's, you know, the most active and pressing need in the given moment. But we do want to have an ongoing, you know, refugee support portal featuring third wave volunteers and any other orgs that do these types of activities around the world. And it's interesting that a lot of refugee organizations, like, so we have all of our charities aligned by the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals. And the refugee organizations tend to associate with the goal of climate change and, you know, reactions, proactive actions towards climate change. And it's very fitting from a refugee perspective, right? Like, Ukraine clearly is a war situation that is going on, but we have all of these refugees that will be, you know, arguably growing in numbers in the coming years as a result of climate change issues that are really forcing people out of their current locales in different ways and exacerbating conflict as well. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how that evolves. You know, it's very frightening in many ways, but yeah, there's a lot of hope and optimism from organizations such as yours.
And just being on the front lines of natural disasters, we used to do one big one a year around the world, but now it's accelerated. The last 8 years is back to back to back to hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. It's just accelerated at such a high risk. And for example, it's causing a lot of the refugee problems with the famines and the starvation. And in Syria, when all the farms dried up, everyone moved to the cities and they were overcrowded, then Al-Qaeda was formed and ISIS was formed. So that's linked way back to climate change. And same with everything that's going on in the world. There's just the climate is really affecting the refugees, and there's 60 million plus refugees on the walk, you know. And these are people, like, I know we're used to seeing the images when we're young of refugees in Africa, but when I did the Syrian crisis, like, there were people with houses and cars and doctor's degrees, and they would jump off the boat, and the kids had learned three languages already because they knew they were going to Europe. And when you see the refugees more look like yourself, you kind of understand it a little more. Like, that could be us. Imagine Miami, the Russians are coming up the street, all the women and children, I mean, the women are given, you know, guns like they have in Ukraine, and they've got their skirt and their shoes, you know, high heels on, and they're standing at their windows with a gun. It's so surreal. I can't imagine that happening back here if the Canadians invaded us or the Russians. It's just so surreal, this situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm just relieved that the international community has really stood up to denounce this. And I don't even mean nation states. I mean individuals using their collective voice across, you know, these things that people dismiss, social media platforms, right? It's like, oh, you know, you're wasting your time on social media. It's like, social media is how the global world is connected these days. And it's been, you know, nothing's unanimous, but it's been an overwhelming chorus, just damning these attacks and saying we as a global nation of citizens are not going to accept.
And I've never felt this before in 25 plus years. I've never been in a disaster area that I felt such the world coming together on it. I didn't feel it in the Syrian crisis and all the others, and it's hard to pinpoint why, but I've really felt like, you know, you're working on the ground and you'll see every nation together, and it's beautiful, and we really feel it, and it's just, you know, if you have love for humanity, that we're all one country. So I'm feeling like that for the first time in all these years, and I felt it September 11th in New York. Of, you know, there were Japanese firefighters and everything, but this feels even different to that. And it feels like one country coming to defend these innocent people against this big bully. When we try to, you know, inspire people, we know we're not trying to be these, you know, we try to like leave ego behind. It's just, we're all together helping. And we say, you don't have to shave your head or chant on a hill, but imagine a world where we all do our part, that the karma banks are filled with blue chip stocks of compassion, and we're all billionaires on the inside. And that's how we feel out in the field. We're, you know, we have a great comradeship. We have a good time as well while we're trying to go to sleep. And we just come together, and it's a beautiful feeling that we have inside. And I just wish everybody could have that feeling, that service to others and volunteering.
That's something we're big on here with Angel Protocol, is just, you know, it's that enlightened self-interest of it all, right? You know, how do you help yourself the most? By helping others in so many ways, you know, practical, spiritual, emotional. Very much aligned with that.
Yeah. And we can't do it without you, you know, we can't. Like, we have to have the help and the donations. And some people can't do a donation of time, but they do a donation of check. But I used to get home from these disasters, you know, living on a banana because I was so broke, and I would see all the opulence around us, and I used to be, oh, that's not fair. But then I came 180 on it, because it's fair, because everyone's donating and helping us do what we do, and you're just as important as us. We're just all worker bees, you know, and it's just about that service for others. And if anyone out there wants to join Third Wave, we have a website, you can sign up, and even if it's a few hours on the computer at night, you don't even have to leave your home, but there's just always something that everybody can do.
Yes, yes, actively encourage people. I think that's great. Kevin, I think that you had wanted to jump in here a little bit.
I just had a note. Thanks for bringing up the NFTs, and especially the Luna Bulls donation. They also took took their artist and they created this incredible sunflower, and you can see it on the Angel or the ukraine.angelprotocol.io. You'll see this very subtle, beautiful animation of the sunflower with the Terra logo in the middle. And anybody who donates will get that. So it's not a raffle. That one is going to be airdropped by the Lunable teams to everybody. So just another, you know, mark of how amazing that team is, how Coleman is. It's just incredible.
Beautiful. Thank you. And Allison, just to key in on something you said there, I really love, I like the framing of abundance mindset and scarcity mindset. And, you know, with a scarcity mindset, it's this zero-sum game mentality. And it kind of leads to these weird sort of thoughts of, well, if this person is rich, that means other people are poor as a result. And it's so much more powerful in my framing or in my mind to think of this abundance mindset of growing the pie for everyone. And it's not about, you know, demonizing people who have more, people who have less. It's about being able to work together towards outcomes that are beneficial for all of humanity. And it doesn't have to mean one person is losing. It means everyone can win together. And there are very, very real practical ways to bring about those kinds of realities. So I just appreciate that philosophy and mindset.
Oh, agreed.
All right.
I can talk forever. I've got so much in my head, but I don't know what you want to hear. It's like,
please, honestly, I mean, I really think it's so powerful for the community, right? Because it is such an abstract thing. You know, you hear about it on the news, you may or may not people tweeting about it, but to hear from people who are on the ground actually doing it, like I think that's extremely powerful. So really anywhere you want me to put it, Allison.
Well, I was just saying, like, the first time I went in, you know, and just being able to some of the cities that haven't been bombed, there's just people driving around in their car and there's some restaurants open and, you know, every day things going on. And then you'll go further to the east and then it's the total opposite. It's devastation and everything. But it's kind of like, you know, say the size of America when you've got everybody fighting on the east coast and everything. But then if you're in California in a different area, it's, you know, not affected or, you know, so there's, it's a bit complicated to explain, but it's just bizarre that you can sit in a restaurant and eat something nice. And then the next day you're in the front line and there's no food and it's in the dark or whatever. So it's such a strange dichotomy going on. But just, I can't stress enough, just this beautiful, innocent people. And the children's laughter is just missing now. You know, there's those first 2 weeks you had people, women and children lining up in minus 12 degrees in the snow blizzard, and they're waiting 48 hours to go through, and they're holding a baby. They got four kids in tow, and watching the men and the boys say goodbye to their family, like the kids and the wives, and just crying and crying because they might never even see them again. And there's one girl that went off to be safe in Italy and she just found out her son was killed. Oh, I have to tell you something. The Russians, they have such misinformation going on in Russia, and some people are starting to really believe it. They're saying that it's a war with the West and America, and that we're killing all the Russian-speaking people in Ukraine, and we're using chemical warfare and everything. And it's just not true. But, you know, when we were there, we've got some security from UK and from America, and they were getting death. They were having things come in to say that their family members, obituaries, yeah, the Russians are sending us all obituaries, that the family member has died. So one of the US military ex-veterans, whatever, he's just a humanitarian now helping, he got obituary that his sister had died back in America, and he was freaking out. So this is the little tricky things that they're doing to us in country, and it's just horrible and shocking. Yeah, it's like
wow.
Yeah, there's a whole cyber war going on. You can you imagine getting that, like, in your email? And it's a beautifully written obituary, and it looks like it's an official newspaper. And that one of your family members back home is dead. You know, there's just so much stuff going on like that behind the scenes.
That's terrifying. I can't even imagine. Like, you know, people in crypto joke about psyops of psychological operations, but really, that is just you know, seeing something like that in practice is just a next level of inhumane of ways to go about it. But it just shows you that there's really no, you have to be vigilant. You know, you can't trust everything that you read, and it's a sad state of the world. But you know, media in general is highly corrupted. Whether you're looking at centralized institutions or just hearing word of mouth that spreads virally, especially the most negative, worst kinds of things. And you know, I don't know the answer other than just being very aware that there's a lot of misinformation out there, and you need to be very careful.
And we also have to be careful about not condemning all the Russians, because there's in big hundreds of thousands of numbers, they're standing up against the war. So there's really good Russian people that are against it, you know. So it's a little tricky because Russians have their families in Ukraine have their families. It's not like the old days where, you know, it was separated and there's a war against it. They're all mixed in together. So it's very complicated.
Absolutely. No, 100%. DKG, you had raised your hand to speak.
Hey, everybody. Hear me okay?
Hi. Hey, thanks for coming up here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So basically, friends, Anand, we've come to the Twitter space, and we'd like to basically introduce, and I'm not trying to shill the group here, this group is supposed to support Terra as a foundation, and beyond Terra. This is the appearance of the Degen Kitty Guild. So basically, our first target is this very rich man tweeted that he had sold the very first tweet of Twitter, Jack Dorsey's tweet, for something about $50 million and donated half of that proceeds. Jack Dorsey, he responded and said, why not 99%? So I thought about this, we thought about this, and he said, why not? Why not 100%? Why not 100%? We created an NFT using something from the protocol, Talus protocol. And we've donated 100% of the proceeds to Angel Protocol. And there are no royalties being accrued. The wallet has been doxed. You can go look at the contract and the wallet. Zero proceeds are being taken by the group. 100%, including zero royalties, are being taken from resales. So you can also confirm with Talus Protocol that this is the case. This is 100% donation going towards this group. I've tagged every single relevant person in the space currently. Spectrum Protocol, all of everybody, you know, I've tagged Jack Dorsey, I've tagged Delphi Digital, and I said, hey guys, what's happening? I tagged Elon Musk, I tagged everyone in the space. I wrapped it all up and messaged Chauncey and said, hey, you know, and she liked it. So she liked it. I don't know if she's a he or she, so no offense meant there. We're all Anons here, so I don't know. But anyway, this is power. This is magic. What can we do as a community? What can we do? Let's make a wave. Let's make some noise. Let's see what we can do as a community, as a group. Let's see. So please, if you show your support, if you want to, just come to the guild page, like and retweet the pinned tweet, and please do your research. You know, if somebody from Talus can come and, you know, maybe verify that this is 100% donation happening, maybe if somebody from Angel Protocol can come and verify that, yes, this is 100% being donated. The wallet has been doxed. Everything is good. It's not some kind of shady rug. Like, I want to see what kind of support can we show. There are some very rich people in our group. There are some very rich people in this space. Why aren't we doing more with our money? I hear again and again all day long shilling and shilling Nebula Protocol, Prism Protocol, this protocol. There's Apollo DAO. There's this. There's that. And that's great. I'm very interested in accruing alpha for the group as well. And, you know, we are actively investing in this Terra community and Terra ecosystem, as well as the Cosmos IPC sort of interstellar experience, as you will. This very unique and growing space that we're in is just magic, what we can possibly do by working together. So let's see. Let's stop being so selfish and let's take some of our money and let's show off. Who can donate the most?
Yeah,
there's 30. It starts at 30 Luna. I think I can't remember. I put 300 Luna. Sorry, I can't remember when I started. I think it's 300 Luna. I started the bidding at. I wanted to start it even higher, but let's get at least 300 Luna. So let's see how high we can pamp this thing, friends. Come on, anonymous friends. We're calling all of you. Let's just share and let's work together. Degen Kitty plans to be a place to create magic in the community.
Yeah.
So please come and show your support, friends. I'll be showing up in different spaces and talking. There's an affiliate of the group, Zeus. He's been doing some interviews and stuff. Sometimes he shows up in Sefi's space and different things. So if you can, just show the Terra ecosystem and the Terra family that you care, that you actually care about these people that are suffering. It's really fucked up what they're dealing with. So let's support them. Let's do all we can.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much.
That was amazing. You know what? Because like the humanitarians out in the field, like myself, we never have more than $20 in our bank account, but we make it work and we sleep in tents or in $3 night guest houses and that. But it doesn't matter because we have all these do good people, but we need business people behind us and business minds. And we got to join together and put it together because I don't know all these terminology you're using, but it sounds amazing. And we need that.
Yes. No? There are some brilliant minds that we have in the group and we're growing and anyone can be affiliated with the guild. There's no requirement for participation. You can affiliate with the guild if you like it. If you want to be part of the family, you can fly the pirate flag somewhere on your banner, somewhere on your bio or your name and put hashtag DKG. If you want to affiliate, you don't have to. Show support, don't show support. Please tell everyone you can possibly imagine telling about this. And I appreciate the love and support of the community. Actually, I have to go to work, but I appreciate everyone here. My life wouldn't be the same without this community. So. Thank you all.
Thank you. Can you get in touch with me somehow?
yeah, absolutely. Feel free to send me a DM, please.
I love it. And honestly, I mean, this kind of spirit of generosity that you're embodying, I mean, that has been the rocket fuel for Angel across our whole existence, right? Terra has proven to be an incredibly generous and giving community. We have over it's the birth of the Angel Alliance, right? Terra and now going cross chain, right? We have over 80 different protocols, NFT projects, validators, that all give to charity and have joined a commitment. And I just think it's an incredibly powerful statement. And to your point, right, like a lot of us are sitting on great gains from investing in this ecosystem, from having that belief, and to turn some of this, quote unquote, magical internet money into real life changing support on the ground. I mean, that is the play, right? That is the real game here.
And Angel Protocol has the background. They started in humanitarian work, so they have both sides. They know how it is to be out in the field and everything, working. So I love that they know that.
The last thing I wanted to leave you all with, I started a kitschy hashtag for it. So there's the Curve Wars. I don't know if anybody's aware of what's happening there, but now there's the, the Astro Wars that everybody's fighting over Astroport liquidity. And I'm like, all right, guys, like, I understand. I'm also trying to fight for this Astroport liquidity. Don't get me wrong. But what about something else? Why not the Angel Wars? Who can be the biggest angel? So hashtag Angel Wars. Angel Wars. Hashtag Angel Wars.
Hashtag Angel Wars. Okay.
Let's get some friction. Let's see how much of a wave we can make. Anyway, love you all. Please,
love
me. Show your support. yes. Let's talk soon, friends. Anand, thank you for the time.
Love it. Let's gamify charity here. Let's compete to see who can be the most charitable, most giving. It's just taking jujitsu, right? Taking something that can be negative and turning it for positive. And that's what we're all about. People waste money on NFTs. Well, let's have that money channeled to charity. Like, people gamify, these degen activities. Well, let's gamify doing real good in the world, right? These are just tools. They can be used for bad. They can be used for great, great, powerful, amazing causes. So love that.
Hey, DKG, make sure to reach out. I head up the Alliance. Would like to get you onboarded and figure out how best we can work together.
Let's do it. Let's make it. Oh yeah, man. I'm one of the more enthusiastic people.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you all. And we'll also be starting a space occasionally. Sefi should come join. Some great heavyweights from the community will be there. Please join if you have time. We'll have some from DKG. starting soon. So keep your eyes peeled. All right, y'all. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so we're kind of at the top of the hour here. I mean, any final things you want to share with the community?
Were you talking to me, Allison?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I can't speak for all the different orgs, but I know our org, we're accountable. If we get donations, we send photos and videos and proof and receipts, and that's just how it keeps flowing because people started with us on Facebook, Twitter and Facebook, 20-something years ago, giving $5 and $10, but now they're giving $10,000 and more because they just see it works and it's not going to an empty account with a big org that's going to pay for their $100 million before they can walk out the door or salaries and stuff. So I just know that, you know, you can trust us and we're all equal and we love you and anyone's welcome to join our family. It's a family of love and it's about love in action. When we're on the ground, everyone keeps saying to us, oh, your spirits are making us feel better because we're smiling. We got all our nurses with little cute hats on with little hearts, you know, and it's just about building the spirits of the Ukraine people and they're really appreciating it. They're hugging us and it's creating this beautiful family. So everyone out there is welcome to join our family.
Love it. Thank you, Allison. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Coleman, thank you for sharing more of your experience on the ground. Excited that you two are going to be connected now going forward. Yeah. And just again, a huge thank you to the whole community for donating. Final call to action. Please go to ukraine.angelprotocol.io. You can donate to Third Wave Volunteers there, along with other humanitarian refugee relief organizations working on the ground in Ukraine. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day ahead.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Third Wave Volunteers, Ukraine Refugee and Orphan Rescue Efforts, hosted by Angel Protocol, recorded on Thursday, April 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rooms, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls. Hand in reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hid the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2
2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Terra Spaces.